so much for that. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 this morning. It's been our theme verses for our new theme. We kind of read through it last week, and told you I was going to visit again, and that day is here. See, why do we do things we do around here? Well, a couple reasons. One is, I think church is to be a place of joy, and so we occasionally have a little fun here, and I really don't apologize for that. I've been to so many services where I thought I was going to church and a funeral broke out, and that's just no good. Anybody ever been to those? You know, where it's just bad. I'm not talking about being goofy or anything, but I think it's important. I think it's important. And we come, and there's a spirit of joy, a spirit of happiness. Truth of the matter is, you got all the sadness you want outside. I think inside here, with the people of God, ought to be a place where you can and sing the songs of Zion. And I think in one sense, church in that sense is practice. It's practice for heaven. And so I'm so excited about that. And then secondly, one of the reasons we do the calendars and the themes and the graphics and all that is because there's so much going on screaming for your attention. And we want to make sure that what's important kind of breaks through that. And so we do that, and we kind of marry the two because I really think what we're doing here, you know, between y'all's house and here, or up the hill there, you know, about 50,000 people over here. They need to know there's a Savior. They need to know that they live, stay like they are, it's not going to go well. But if they'll repent of their sins and confess Christ as their Savior, He can change their life and change their life story and change their kids' and their grandkids' life story. And so that's pretty exciting to me that God, John said, put us here on a hill to be a light to this community. And we had the silly little lights on our fingers. That's okay, man. If we get the message, we get to be light. So we do this. And so this is really, in one sense, even though it's not January, it's our kickoff message for our new theme. Just going to read the two verses. If you're willing and able, stand as we pay honor to God and His Word. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in, there's our theme, the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, why didn't you put do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Because we couldn't get it on the banner. And all in, we want to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to work that through this morning. What does it mean to be all in? What does it mean to be all in? Would you pray with me right now? Father, from the front to back, side to side, for our guests that are here this morning, for our folks that have been here a time or two before that have joined us again, we thank you for the special music, for all the ladies who sang so beautifully, for Brandon as he led us to worship, as he played the piano, the sound technicians, Lord, the ladies in the back who are helping and assisting in the junior church and the nursery that give parents a little bit of a break, and those who are teaching the younger ones on their level what it means, what the Bible says, and what they can have a relationship with you. So we are thankful for the many who make all this happen. But more than that, Lord, none of it happens without you, and so we pause and give you the best and the greatest thanks. And I ask you to speak to our hearts. Would you unite our church around your purposes? Would you thrill us with nothing less than your smile? Would you help us as we go forward this year, as you continue to help us be healthy, as we continue to be outwardly focused and not inwardly, as you continue to add to the team and add folks to the other teams? I pray, Lord, that you get all the honor and glory. Use me this morning. Help me to speak your word plainly and understandably. May I deliver the burden of the text. Spirit of God, use me, I ask. Speak to every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You can be seated. It's an interesting thing to me here. verse 16 and verse 17. If I was taking the passage apart, you really have verse 1 through 15, and you have the end of it. And you have these two little, if you allow me, these two little pregnant verses here in the middle. They kind of stand on their own. They have so much to deliver to us. He's talking about the new life, the changed life, and he walks all the way up. Look at verse 14. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, your phones open there. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of completeness or perfectness or maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're called one body, and be thankful. He says, man, you're to have peace, and this is to be the ruling, the governor there, the judge in your life. And then you're to be thankful. And he's just really just having a ball with him here, and he's rolling out all that stuff. And then he just pauses. And it's not that it doesn't fit, but it really stands as a capstone. And he gives in verse 16 some instructions, and he gives in verse 17 something that's a little more difficult. Look back at verse 17, if you would. It says, and whatever you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then, to further complicate it, he says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So let me ask you a little question here. Because we like to look plastic and pretend like everything's okay in church, don't we? Some of you nod sanctifiedly. And we like to pretend, because we all dress up and we all look better, don't we? We brush our teeth. If we don't, we grab them in on the way in. You know, and we look a little better, act a little better. Because the reality is, some of you fussed and fought on the way here. Don't raise your hand. Please don't point. And some of you had a bad Friday. And again, on Saturday, don't raise your hand and point. Some of you left a sink full of dishes and mess to clean up. And you're just going to drag your feet getting home, because it's waiting for you. And we come in like everything's okay, but that's usually not the case. Let me ask you a question or two just for a second here. Did anybody have trouble with that this week? Did anybody have trouble? Whatever I do, whatever I say, he knocks it. He says, my speech and my actions should always represent Jesus well. Whatever you do in word or deed, speech and action, should represent Jesus well. Anybody have trouble with that in the last week? I got mine up. What about the last month? Last month, you had a little trouble with that. How many of you didn't raise your hand because you're a dirty, rotten liar, and that's one of the things you're having trouble with? And, you know, some of you going, ha, ha, hee, hee, hee. And this is not an area we struggle with. This is a sure area, right? If you don't catch me with the words, you sure catch me with my actions, right? Catch me with my actions. One of the things we've tried to teach the children is if they go, you know, they better repent before we get to them, right? You know, it's like the Grim Reaper running through the house here. You know, and if you slam the door, it better been because there was a spider in the doorway, right? You know, these kind of things. Nod your head if you're with me here. And it's bad when the adults do it too, isn't it? And we go, right? And some of you are pointing, some of you are laughing, some of you are writing down names right now. We struggle with this. We struggle with this kind of thing here. We struggle with our speech. We have arguments. We use ugly language. We struggle with our actions, doing our best at school, doing our best at work, working hard in a relationship. We struggle with that. But if you add to it, do everything gratefully, because every now and then we just grit our teeth, don't we? And we just pull through. Nod your head if you're still listening to me this morning. What he describes in verse 17 is a mighty tall order. And if I stop there, we all go home going, wow, that was great to be in church today. I'm a failure. Are we not true? How in the world are we going to do verse 17? How in the world are we supposed to do verse 17? Glad you asked. I think the key is in verse 16. If I want to do all in, if I want to be all in for Jesus, then I need to understand what he's telling me in verse 16. Look at it, if you would. Let's just tear this apart here and see where we're at. To be all in for Jesus, to do all in for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I suggest to you is a heart matter. And you don't have any blanks, so if you'll take good notes here, you'll like these and you'll go back to them in days to come. I believe it's a heart matter, not a head matter. I don't believe it's how much I psych myself up. I don't believe it's how much I get, how organized I get or disorganized I am. I don't believe it's, you know, looking in the mirror and giving myself a little pep talk. I don't think it's a head matter. I believe it's a heart matter. To be all in, to do all for the name of Jesus, it's a heart matter. I'm going to need help with my heart and not with my head. Because when I look at all that's ahead of me, and I look at all the problems and the people and the relationships that are difficult, when I look at all my own failings and shortcomings, my head says, you got no shot. You got no shot. you're not going to make it. Not going to make it. Allison's been applying for different jobs, different places and all. Some of you have been helping her and stuff like that. She was trying to apply at Duck Donuts, new donut shop. And I was happy she applied or was going to apply, but I thought, man, I got, you know, if she goes to work there and I get a discount, you know, I'm toast. You know, I'm toast. The gym where I go occasionally, they have a pizza night and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? The Mayola, not Mayola, what's Mayfield? Mayfield ice cream man was parked outside the gym the other day. And I'm thinking either he broke down at an inopportune place or he's hunting in a baited field. You know, either he's motivation or temptation. I didn't know which one. You know, when you're going to do this, it's not a heart or not a head matter. It's a heart matter. I want my heart to be right. And if my heart is right, then I can fulfill verse 17. So walk me through it. Walk me through here. Number one, I believe you have to let God's word be at home in your heart. You got to let God's word be at home in your heart. Thank you. Many of you are writing these notes down. Thank you for that, for doing that. These will be a help to you. Look at the verse again, verse 17. The Bible, or verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell there means to be at home. It means to be at home. And the word richly there just simply means abundant. Means abundant. Andre and I got married. I actually moved into her apartment. Her apartment, you remember? Remember in Fayetteville there? And we were upstairs. Downstairs was a, he had a giant record player. And he apparently had his speakers pointed at the ceiling. I've never seen shag carpet move before. But anyway, it did. And we were there. And it was a, it wasn't in a dangerous part of town. That's what we told ourselves every night. And as we slid the couch and the things in front of the door. And no, we didn't. But we were there. And when we moved in, I brought my stuff. And I'd been the bachelor to this point, obviously. And I had bachelor kind of stuff. I had a chair that was made out of fabric. And to sit in it was an adventure. It was like sitting in a hammock. The Senate is like the chair you've got. Sitting in it was a hammock, but getting out of it, you basically just had to fall down. And so Andre looked at it and thought it was some kind of death trap. And you know, how do you do it? And I kept waiting for it to be on the curb. But I had all this UNC stuff as a Tar Heel fan. And the Tar Heels are the Rams. Or they have the Rams. And so I brought in all this stuff, looked like it was demons. You know, I got a ram here and a ram there. And Andre's holding up this thing with the horns and the eyes like this going, I have married a devil worshiper. And, you know, and she's wanting to, we'll just hang this later. And we'll put this over here. And I was doing this. The fun came in the restroom. We had a one sink and no extra counter, you know, kind of deal. Anybody remember living like that? Some of you living like that now. And so she's got her accoutrement that she's going to get ready with. And I got, you know, probably at the time would have been hairspray consort. Anybody still use consort? That good smelling hairspray. It's probably what's eating the ozone hole now. But anyway, and I got that, and we've got this other stuff, you know. And so I want to spread my stuff out, and she's already had her stuff. And so got to make a little room. Then, you know, does the toilet paper go over or under? You know, we had that discussion yesterday. And so we're doing all this kind of stuff, and she's getting used to me. I'm getting used to her. And I remember one time she just said, we'll figure it out. But when we moved, got our own place, you know, it was a race to see who could know. And when we got our own place, it was ours. And being made at home. You ever had a house guest stay too long? Some of you are pointing again. I don't know what this means. And some of you are pointing at Dakota. And we're here, and, you know, like, you know, that's old state, you know, like, you know, 3 days fishing, house guests need to go. And that's a lot of times, I think, how we treat God's word. We treat it like a house guest. Well, that's fine for a minute or two. That's fine for a day or two. But I want you to be out. The Bible here says, use the word that's, again, translates to be at home. This is how you do it. And they're to do this richly. Here's typically what happens. You can't do verse 17 because God's word's only got a little closet space. It's only got about 3 inches on the sink counter. God wants to have a room in your house. Let me help you here. God wants to have 2 rooms in your house. He wants to have 3 rooms in your house. God wants to have the whole house. God's Word, God wants to have all of that. Truth of the matter is, God wants you to walk up and hand Him the keys and the deed or the rental agreement and say, it's all yours, Lord, and the car outside's yours and the moped that doesn't run's yours. All of this is yours. God, you can go anywhere you want to in my house and do anything you want to. Most of us have got our relationships, and that's, God, you can't touch this. Or we got this alcohol over here. We got this bad habit. Or we got our speech over here. Or we got our engagement, our activity, or our faithfulness over here. And we got all these things, and God, you can't touch it. And God says, hey, wait a minute. You are to let me, my word, be at home richly. It can go anywhere, touch anything. We laugh. Somebody comes to our house and we say, hey, man, we're really glad you're here. Here's the remote. I don't know any better way to make anybody feel at home. Here's the remote. Have at it. If you know how to work it, please let the rest of us know. And here it is. Here it is. It's yours. It's yours. You can have this. Have this. Somebody was getting rid of a little refrigerator for $20-$30. We put a little refrigerator in, a guest room now that's in our house. And people don't even have to come downstairs. They don't have to open up the fridge to get them a Coke or a piece of cheese or ice cream sandwich. Some of you want to come over now, don't you? And they just do the thing that you just be at home. We used to have people come. They'd leave pretty fast. And now that the TV's in the guest room, you know, they come. We can't get them to leave. It's time to go, Mama. And we're here. Kidding. And let God's Word be at home. Most of us are stuck spiritually because we got locked doors and closed rooms and places we don't want God to be anywhere near. It's fine for Him to be in our lives on Sunday morning for a few minutes, but the rest of the time He is not welcome. The Bible says, let God's Word be at home in your heart and your life. Number two, I think you need to let God's Word be in charge. Be in charge there. He gives three words here. Let me throw them to you. He has three words: teaching, admonishing, and wisdom. Read back verse 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Literally, it's the word of God. He's either talking about the gospel. That's one way you can look at it, just the gospel about being saved from your sins. He's talking about that, or he's just talking about the whole corpus of Scripture. I really think it's both, because that's in the context of Colossians, is what he's doing here. I think it's both. I think he's talking about what it means to be saved in the totality of teaching altogether here. He's saying all this kind of stuff. He said, and what you're to do with it is you're to let it instruct you. You're to let it instruct you. Instruct you. How many of you in here like telling people the same thing over and over? Anybody besides me, man, it just delights you to death. How many of you like somebody, man, when they hear it, they get it? They get it. How many of you haven't found anybody like that yet? You just keep looking and on. And we're a little hard-headed, some of us, sometimes. He says that you are to be instructed. God's Word, the Bible says there in 1 Timothy, that His Word is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake, that the man of God may be thorough, may be complete, may be mature. Your spiritual maturity lies at the feet of the Word of God. Let me help you here. You need to be taught the Word of God. You need to be taught the Scriptures. Then He says admonish, admonish, admonish. Sometimes that's what we get to do. It's what we get to do sometimes with our children. We get to correct them a little bit. We get to correct them. I told a story the other day about playing with a tape measure and sticking it in a light socket, and that's all I remember from that period of the year. And this is a bad a bad thing to do. I saw a guy one time. And he was using encyclopedias. Encyclopedias to kind of jack up his car as a brace. And if I'd have known there was such a thing at YouTube at the time or had access to a video camera, I would have taped it because it was about to be viral worthy here, and thought maybe something other than slippery page books is a good thing to put under your tires. And we sometimes need to be corrected. Most of the time we'd rather be instructed than corrected, but we need both, don't we? We need both. We need sometimes to say, hey, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong path. That's going to end up hurting you. That's going to end up... I've stood in front of people the last 6 months and waved my hands at them and just wanted to scream at them and say, if you keep doing this, you will lose your family, lose your marriage. You're going to lose your job. Please listen to me. Why? Because the Word of God is to correct us, to admonish us. Then there's that word wisdom. The word wisdom. or wisdom. Been humorous. Been humorous, Brother Glaspie. Third Sunday now, right? He don't know. Third Sunday, good. Third Sunday, one of the first things we told him, Andre, one of the first things we told him was, if he's out driving, to do what? What's he supposed to do with the highways? He's supposed to stay off of 40 at all possible in the mornings and in the afternoons. Nod your head if you believe that. Stay off of 40. Whatever you do, that's what y'all told me. And all you got to do is be stuck there one time, almost out of gas. And you believe it. You believe it. And last week, right? Last Friday, he said it can't be that bad. He got on there. He got home sometime Saturday morning and from work. He said the words that every adult longs to hear. I should have listened to you. But I know better now. Well, praise God. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom. We give the kids pocket knives. I had pocket knives growing up. Pocket knives. We walk through how to handle a pocket knife. Pocket knife, you close it like this, you don't close it with your fingers in there, right? You will once, but you'll never do it again, right? You don't walk around, you don't throw knives unless your boys being idiots. And you have some nice safety and all. Some of you have weapons and stuff at your house. You practice guns. You want to do this, and then you'd like to see them doing the same thing, right? They got a shotgun. They've got it broken. They're holding it like this as they're walking around. Those things, you don't have it loaded inside. You practice those kind of deals and those kind of things like that. I have a friend. He said he almost cried when he saw his daughter outside with the hood raised and checking the oil and the fluids before she went on a trip. And he said, I'm no longer needed. I have taught her everything she needs to know because she's practicing preventative car maintenance. And I said, well, surely stick around for a little while longer. There's got to be something more to teach your daughter. And he started laughing, and he said, you know, I could never get my sons, but my daughter finally. Well, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. It's wisdom. Every parent here goes, haven't I told you to pick up your clothes? The floor is not a hamper, right? Right? The maid's not in today. You ate it, you go put it in the dishwasher. Nod your head if you admit some of you parents fixing to get Pentecostal on me here, right? And get happy, happy. Wisdom means I heard it and I practiced it. John MacArthur said, I've told this before, the great glass doors outside the front of Grace Community Church there in California, some of you heard him, said he thought for a while there that they had made it out of some different kind of material because he'd preached to them for 45 minutes to an hour. He says, and it seemed like as they passed through those glass doors, they'd forget everything he just told them. Now, wisdom is when you apply the Scripture to life. Wisdom is when you take it to heart. Wisdom is you say, I fear God, I believe God's word, and I will perform it now. Wisdom. See, when I let God's word be in charge, now he flips it too, by the way. I start helping instruct others. I start correcting others. I start using the wisdom God has allowed me to have from the word with others. When God's word's at home, I want it to be home with everybody I know. I want it to be at home with everybody I know. It helps me. It corrects me. It's application to me. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Number one, let God's word be at home. Number two, let God's word be in charge in your heart and your life. Number three, let God's word change your heart. Let God's word change your heart. Look at verse 17. Don't miss it. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father from by Him. Look at the end of verse 16 here. Everybody stay with me for a minute. And it says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 16, verse 17. He talks about our heart here. See, my heart is my tattletale. You ever just went on a tear and you wondered where that came from? Let me back up. You ever had anybody just go crazy and they say, I didn't mean that? Well, whoever's living in there sure said something, didn't they? Well, I didn't mean to say that. Well, were you unconscious? Were you in a coma? You know, are you an android? You're programming myth up, right? What we mean is, I didn't mean to say that out loud. Can I get an amen from anybody here? Y'all look a little shell-shocked right now. I didn't mean to say that out loud, right? Wonderful thing about, you know, online, you can delete it real fast if you're careful. But But people, some people, they just need to get rid of their online accounts, I reckon. And nobody in here. I'm not throwing any rocks at anybody in here. Nobody here except for you wanting to sell that mental marketing stuff. You're crazy. And I'm kidding. We're going to business together. We want to do these things. Tongues tell the heart. See, the heart's where my speech comes from. You have trouble singing. Not the words of song, but you have trouble singing. I mean, there's a heart problem. You have trouble with profanity. You have trouble with your language. You have trouble talking about boys and girls and men and women differently. You have trouble with those things. You don't have a speech problem. You have a heart problem. You have a heart problem. This is where my speech comes from. See, the heart, this is where I sing from. Sing from. You say, no, I've had professional lessons and I'm to sing from my diaphragm. Well, that's your breath control. I'm to sing, fill up my belly, keep my shoulders down, and sing perfectly poised. Well, that's breathing technique. I'm not talking about where you sing from. I'm telling you where your song comes from. Where your song comes from. Some years back, a still youth pastor, parent called, very upset. She'd done the unthinkable. She'd gone to her son's room and seen the half-naked women, not safe for public viewing images on the CDs and the collections, and caught on his screen, on his computer, and saw the nudity there, and single mom figured she was in a mess. She called. We came. She just point had pulled out dozens and dozens of compact discs, and she was reading the liners, and the more she read, the madder and heartbroken she got. She couldn't get her son to listen, couldn't do those things. She said, I bring him to church. What she meant was he went to church about every 6 months. And she was at a point where he was now out of control. She gave us all the CDs. So do whatever you want with them. So I got to have them out of my house. Well, it was the first good decision she'd made in a while. Because they'd fight and he'd go in his room, and whether he'd thump the walls or put on his headphones, and he would just blast out to the anger. He blasted out at that point. Eminem was on the scene, some others, different groups, different faces now. She said, I've seen her a time or two since then. I can't win back his heart if there's no room for me in it. Now, her motivations were not real spiritual. She just disappointed little boy, now ugly boy. But she had the right idea. She's going to do some spiritual surgery because his heart was a mess. His heart was a mess. See, my heart tells him. It's where I sing from. I need to let God's word change my heart, because this is where I experience God's grace. This is where I experience God's grace. See, if I let God's word be where it needs to be, if I make give him access to all the rooms in my house, if I do this, if you'll please hear, it's like changing the station on your radio. All of you that are under 30 don't know what that means. It's like changing the Pandora list that I listen to. It's like changing the Spotify playlist that I have. It's like deleting your iPod favorites and starting over again. I want something different flowing through my mind and my heart. I need it to be different because God has shown his grace to me, and my heart wants to resonate and get in tune with those kind of things, and God's word can change the station, the playlist on my heart. That's what we need. See, when God's word is there, when God's word had full freight. See, I want to do all in. Well, I'm going to have to do what for God's word? I'm going to have to let it be at home. I'm going to have to let it be in charge. I'm going to have to let it change my heart. Last thing I'm done. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Let me finish. Number four. I'm going to have to let God's word help the Spirit of God to rule my life. Some of you in your Bibles, you see it. It's got a point. It says this is a parallel passage to Ephesians. If you flip over there to Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see it. Or excuse me, I flip back a page or two, you'll see it. Ephesians chapter 5. You got your phone or tablet. Let me read it to you there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. If you're taking notes, write that down if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. Verse 19, speaking yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always to God and the Father and to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost exactly the same except for the first part. We call this an equivocation, saying the same thing a different way. Let God's word be at home, be being filled with the Spirit. You want God's Spirit to rule your heart and life this year. Then you better jump in the Word of God and let the Word of God be in you. I preach to teenagers most of my adult ministry here. I used to say it like this to them. You're as spiritually advanced as the last time you told God no. You're as spiritually mature. You've grown as much spiritually as the last time you told God no. Whether it was too far as a single person with the opposite sex, whether it was whatever on your computer, whether it was your finances, whether it was your faithfulness, whatever. The last time you told no, you can just mark a line there. And I almost guarantee you've not grown any further since. Why? Because you've robbed God's Spirit of what He needs in your heart and your life to help you become Christ-like, to help you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I need the Spirit of God. Excuse me, I need to take in the Word of God in order to give the Spirit of God what I need to act like and look and to be like the Son of God, to act like Jesus. Somebody says, well, you know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would let God's Word be at home in His life. He let it be in charge in His life and change His life. And He would give it so that the Spirit of God would do that. So I want the Spirit of God to control me. Best days I ever had, I'm listening to Him. Best days I ever have, I'm sensitive to Him. And when I sin, I'm quick to ask for forgiveness. The best days I ever had, the worst days I ever had, when I know the Spirit of God wants me to do something else and I run from it. The worst days I ever had is when God's Word is pricking my heart and the Spirit of God, and I keep running away from that. Most miserable people sit on a church row are people who say no regularly and routinely to God. No, I need to give the Spirit of God what He wants and He needs. That's a whole different subject here. I suggest to you again to be all in for Jesus, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus is not a heart matter. It is not a head matter. It is a heart matter. The heart matter. The heart matter. Matt closed with just an easy illustration to help us remember. People say if you want to love your children, and love to children is not about quality. There's no such thing as quality time with children, right? Children spell it quantity. We even say that little ditty. Love to a child is spelled T-I-M-E. Nod your head if you ever had that little heard that little expression. Well, let me help you. I think if you want this to be all in, I think the same thing. I think it's time reading the Bible. I think it's time learning the Bible. I think it's time listening to the Bible being taught. I think it's time obeying the Bible. He talked about Sister Dorothy. Brother Tullis mentioned they're not here 25 years later faithful because they neglected time in the Word, or the Word in their heart. Not that it's been a straight line of growth, and neither one of them would say that. But if you want to be all in and do all in for the name of Jesus, you're going to have some time reading the Bible. That's why we give out the devotional guides, why we've encouraged you. Have the 90-day jump start. You will not be doing things to represent Christ if you don't have time in the Bible. Number two, you need to have time learning the Bible. As you ride around listening to radio preachers, as you have opportunity, you download all kinds of stuff from our website and all the sermons, you catch up. Most of the services, it's friends first of the year, we've got them live streamed and then they're captured. You can watch them on your smartphones and all. We've got that for you. Why? Because you need to be learning the Bible. We don't push Sunday school because we think we've got anything better than anybody else. We push Sunday school because you need to have time to learn the Bible and make connections with people. We're having the ladies' Bible study, the men's Bible study, and the financial piece because we need to have time learning God's Word. Let me help you. Teenager, you're missing Sunday school and you're missing or Wednesday night. You're missing so much because you need to have time learning the Bible. You need to have time listening to the Bible. Listening to the Bible. We're down to just one or two people who miss service with any regularity. We want our workers to be able to be in the service and nobody be burned out. Why? Because they need time listening corporately to the Bible being taught. And you need to have time obeying the Bible. We were pretty fast. Yeah, I struggled with my speech this week. Yeah, I struggled with my accents this week. You didn't have some time where you obey the Bible. So I want to be all in. Good. God's Word's in your home. God's Word's in your heart. Is it home in your heart? And your speech or actions will want to. Will want to do all in. And then you just pour gratitude on top of that. I don't have to do for God. I get to do for God. I get to do because of all that God's done for me. That comes from letting God's Word be at home, be at charge, change, giving the Spirit of God exactly what He needs to do to help me act like the Son of God. Would you pray with me right now? Some of you listened so well. I know it's warm in here. Thank you for that. Maybe you're here today and maybe last few weeks perhaps you're just struggling with some spiritual needs. Maybe you've really been considering, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? What does it mean to say I'm sorry for my sins and ask God to forgive me of my sins? And that's where you are. What a day is that opportunity for you to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your law. I know I've done things that hurt your heart. And I know that I'm guilty. And I deserve to be punished, but I understand that you took my punishment and that if I would confess you as my Lord and ask you to forgive me my sins, that you would help me to live right and that you would take my punishment and I could be your child and you could change everything about me. And if you want Him to be your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your opportunity. Today is the moment that you've been waiting for all your life and maybe never knew it. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower, but you're like, you know, not been a lot of Bible being at home in my life, not been a lot of Bible coming in, to be honest with you. And I don't act very Christ-like because I haven't been listening to the words of Christ. God wants to instruct you. He wants to correct you, put you on the right course. He wants you to learn the Word so you can live it out, be wise. God wants to change your heart and life. Everybody messing around right now, please stop. You're distracting people around you. God wants to do that. Maybe you're just like me. Maybe you're like your old preacher. Several days this week, you've just ended up on your face going, Lord, I want 2017 to be a year where I do my very best to do all in your name, to give you all I have. And that if you tarry your coming and you give me life, if we wrap up 2017, I want to be able to look back and say I was all in. I want to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's an opportunity for you. I ask you very quickly, very quietly this morning. Nobody's looking around. You say, preacher this morning, that's my heart. I want a 2017. I want to do all in. I want to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm all in as much as I can be. I want to keep growing and the past is the past, but I look ahead and that's where I'm at. Boy, several, you already raised your hands. Well, that's my heart. That's my heart. Boy, thank you. Anybody else this morning? Boy, several, probably about half of you. I want to be all in for Jesus. Anybody else this morning? Again, about half our crowd. Thank you. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. You say, preacher, I'm here this morning. Pastor, I'm here, but I have spiritual needs in my life. Maybe you need to be a Christ follower, repent of your sins, whatever that is. Maybe you're just unsure, but you really know that God's working in your heart. Would you pray for me? Some of you Some of you have been praying for, but you say, please keep praying for me. Please keep praying for me. Anybody else, you can slip it right up and write me down. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Anybody else this morning? Pray for me. Some spiritual needs. God's working in my heart and my life. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Boy, a lot of hands. A lot of hands. Thank you. Our church is we're very simple in this aspect. If God's speaking to you, we want somebody to be able to pray with you. We can do that a number of ways. A lot of folks find the convenience and the familiarity of coming and kneeling. We call it old-fashioned altar. It's actually new-fashioned steps. But the thought of bowing and submitting ourselves to Him is very helpful. I invite you to do that this morning. If your need's very personal, or maybe you want somebody to spend a little more time with you, just grab one of us right after the service. Grab my wife or I, and we'd be glad to show you from the Scriptures. The important thing is not to leave the way you came. And we're honored to do that. Would you stand with me this morning? Our heads are bowed. The pianist begins to play very softly. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? Father, help us to be all in for you. Help us, Father, those who are here today who have spiritual needs, who are here. I pray that you would help us to get them to the Scripture. The Word of God can meet every need. And I pray that it would, every spiritual need. I pray that you'd help us to introduce folks to the Lord Jesus. If there are people here today who are concerned about their soul, and maybe they've got questions, maybe they're not sure that they're a Christ follower, maybe they're not sure that they've ever repented of their sins, or maybe they have, maybe they did it this week, and they want to publicly say that I belong to Him, and that He saved me, and I'm a child of His now. They want to make that public declaration. Whatever the need is, I want to help folks respond. These altars are open. I pray that you draw people to yourself as we tarry these moments. In Jesus' precious name, our heads are bowed.